Turn, if you will, to the book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament. Habakkuk. Okay. If you're from Maine, I think you say Isaiah. No. Habakkuk. Okay, Habakkuk chapter 3. And just be brief in this intro tonight. We've been feasting all week, haven't we? And lost my voice selling pretzels. Please excuse me, Lord. I publicly confess that fault to all of us. But it's been a great week, hasn't it? And we will all go home changed into that very image of our Lord. The Scriptures comes alive. Think of this verse in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 2. And I was thinking it tonight as about the having a forward-thinking ministry and how important that is as we anticipate and believe and expect healings this evening. Verse 2 says this, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and I was afraid. I heard Shema, I was really discerning with my ear, and I had fear, Yireh. I had unbelief. My mouth was hanging open. My ear was wide open. My heart was able to receive it because it was sound. S-O-U-N-D. I heard this doctrine, thy speech, through the mouths of men, and I was afraid. Revive thy work in the midst of the years, and in the midst of the years make known in wrath, remember mercy. Now, as I think of this tonight, I looked to the New Testament and I saw this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Four times the Apostle Paul uses this word forward, F-O-R-W-A-R-D, going forward. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 2, Word of God says this, For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal had provoked very many. Three other times in 2 Corinthians 8, the Apostle Paul uses this word forward. And I was thinking about all day today and this week about being in a ministry that's forward thinking. Some of us could remember this maybe in the 60s. Anybody remember the Studebaker car? Yeah, some of you, some of us old timers can. And the Studebaker car company came out with a car that was made in Israel and it was called the Avante. Remember that thing? That thing was sharp. Dave LeBlanc remembers it. He was around for a while, but the Avante was this strange looking vehicle and the word Avante in Italian is forward. Go forward. And this was very forward-thinking of a company that's no longer in business that I know of. The car was sharp, though, and I got to drive one once, but that's all I remember of it. But I was thinking how Paul, to his own church in Corinth, was saying, the forwardness of your mind, I boast of you. I'm boasting in this. And that word boast is very beautiful because it is not just... The Septuagint says it's the same word as we find in the Psalms 32. I make my boast in the Lord. It's the word hallelujah. I give praise and we worship the Lord for the thinking of this church. The church in Macedonia here in 2 Corinthians 8 with these forward thoughts would give some expositors say a year in advance for an offering to send somebody off or for something that would be in need in the years to come. They were forward thinking. Remarkable, isn't it? And I thought of that because this all comes because we hear thy speech, Lord. We hear the doctrine preached. It is sound doctrine. And you haven't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. But you've given us the real fear of the Lord in Psalm 19, which is clean and it endures forever. We're clean in John 15:3 through the word, and we have the fear of the Lord in Proverbs 1 and Proverbs 9, which is the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge. And by forward thinking, we have a new beginning tonight. It's brand new. Brand new mercies every moment in Lamentations 3. Forward thinking. It's not creating something and reinventing the wheel. It is living and boasting in what God has done right inside the box. It's a beautiful thing to think with the mind of God and in a ministry that's forward thinking. 25 years ago, there were buses going out of Lenox, Massachusetts. Quite a few of them. Many of you were on them and bus captains, and what a forward-thinking pastor we had back then, huh? And on one of these buses was a bus captain named Peter Taggart. And this man went to South John Street, knocked on a door. Behind that door was a young man, 15 years of age, named Dennis Smart. Dennis came out through Pastor Taggart's love and investment, came out. A few years later, he got baptized in the tank by Pastor Stevens, and he's here tonight, the first time ever at a convention since that 25 years ago, and he's here tonight, and he came home a few years later, and he found his dad dead in the living room of his home in St. John Street in Pittsfield. But through the thought process and through the forward thinking of a ministry, the ministry was right there for him, and it still is there for him today. A forward-thinking ministry. Who would have figured that 25 years later that we could have the privilege of having both those men in this corporate body, both serving in their capacities? I boast in you. Listen, you've provoked many with zeal. Your forwardness of your thinking provokes many with this zeal that is not a Romans 10:2 zeal that the Jews had according to some information, but it is a real zeal in the Hebrew, in the Greek. I looked up this word, and zeal is zelos. It means a fervent mind after the speech of God. Forward thinking. And I love what forward thinking does in our lives. It's clean, as we said in 19:9 of Psalm. It's very clear because of the fear of God in Proverbs 24:21. The Word of God says, I fear the Lord and the King, and I'm not meddling with those that are given to change. Your speech came forward, I feared it, and I said, Lord, revive thy work in the midst of your years and in your time. Oh, Lord Jesus. It's revival. How do we know it? Because the fear of the Lord came upon us this week like never before. And it's clean here. And it's clear here. Wonderful here that Psalm 31 verse 19, the Word of God says this. Can't even read my own notes, but I like it to be able to be challenged. It says, by Nadia, I knew I wrote it, but let's turn there. It says this. Oh, how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. How great is your goodness. Not only does this speech that comes down bring in something that's extraordinarily clear and clean, it's good. And this goodness, it's God's goodness that leads us to change our mind in Romans 2:4. The goodness of God. He reserves it. He rots it up. He stores it up for them that fear Him. Do you fear the Lord tonight? I'm in awe of Him. My mouth is hanging open like sometimes on those long plane trips way overseas and the drool comes down and there's a reverential fear of somebody discovering me. Kathy Corbier always takes pictures of us like that. Huh, Pastor Morse? Yeah. She gets us when we least expect it in those photos. But the fear of the Lord, it is clean and it is clear. And forward thinking gives me the ability to live with a zeal that's intimate and a real zeal because I'm thinking, not just ahead, but I'm thinking with the mind of God who's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He knows it all. The God who knows my hairs on my head and the day I will die and the day I was born, this very God gives us the privilege of having His mind. And then as we think of that, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I love this, that forward thinking does this. Verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. Your forward thinking proves how sincere God's love is for me and for you. Forward thinking. Thinking ahead. Enjoying what God is doing in our lives like never before. I'm ready and willing. The word there in the original, prothumei in the Greek, is the word alacrity. And I don't want to use a big word, but alacrity, A-L-A-C-R-I-T-Y. And alacrity means it's a picture of a soldier advancing into a battle with the readiness of mind, prepared but fearful of what lies ahead. And that's a very clear and clean picture for all of us to enjoy as we take back to our homes what is taking place here. I just want to close with Proverbs chapter 14, I believe, verse 30. And I love this because I don't know what the King James says. I'm just thinking the Hebrew. A sound heart, it says, is the life of the flesh. The original Hebrew says, a forward-thinking, sound mind is life and health. Psychosomatic illnesses and somopsychotic illnesses. Remember those tapes, Pastor Vieter? We know it's up here that happens to the rest of us. If I look in the mirror and I'm depressed by what I see, I need to think forward and ahead of how I'm going to look in eternity. What else are you going to do? You can look. You can look and weep. You can, man, where did that come from? Like, I try to do these chin things to, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You guys do that? But there's still stuff hanging. I thought if I developed these muscles, but it still hangs. We grow old gracefully because we're growing in grace and knowledge to the glory of God. Forward thinking, Paul said to the church, Corinth, I'm going to applaud you for this, guys. You did very well. By the way, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 were meant to be read together and enjoyed together because I can boast in what God is doing. And then one last story in closing, because I don't want to take too long. I can't wait for what's next. Proverbs 28:14 says, blessed is the man that fears always. Blessed is the man. Lots of happiness. You fear God? I mean, I've come out of it. I fear the Lord like never before. It's the beginning of wisdom for me now, and wisdom is the application of what I'm learning, and I can't wait to put it into practice when I get back up to those demon-infested streets of Berkshire County, USA. What else am I going to do? I go back up there, and we have a great ministry and a great group of people up there. God is faithful. And one more thing I want to say is that I was talking to one of young men that are here, Matt Atwater. Some of you may know him. He's been here for 2 years. Got saved, came into the church in Connecticut in 87. This man's father passed away the other day. This is what forward thinking does. For a three-letter athlete in high school and great young man. Get to know him, you folks who live here. He's awesome. Those of you who know him, I know you agree with it. Matt's dad died, and he went up to the funeral in Connecticut the other day, had to miss a little convention. And he had the opportunity to preach at the wake. His family members said, don't, try to stop him. That guy got up, opened the book up, and he said every single person in that place he got to preach at his father's funeral is not even a pastor yet. Forward thinking, calling the things as though they are not as though they are. And we love that tonight, to be able to think with God's mind. This sound doctrine that we've received, it's not anything but thinking with the mind of God in the details of life of every situation. You've provoked very many, Baltimore Church. You folks around the world, I must apologize. If I told so many people to come to Lee this Sunday, if we have a missions conference in Lee with 30 pastors showing up, please forgive me in advance. I love the fact that everyone's excited about going, visiting, witnessing, coming together. It's the spirit, it's revival. God has revived his work in the midst of his years. These are his years, and we happen to be enjoying them. It's revival. The word is chaye. He gives us a glimpse of eternal life as we live day by day in what he's doing in our midst. I rest in over thee. Sing over thee with joy and rest in my love over you in Zephaniah 3:17. So isn't it great that God would heal us because of forward thinking? It's not our thoughts. It's just the ability to take what we've received, mix faith with it, in meekness, conscious of the presence of God, and believe God. I got a call before I came here from a lady in our church, in our Christian athletic program. She has cancer, and it's running through her body. And I said tonight, corporately, I just would mention it, that we would pray for her. And for so many tonight, thank you, Pastor Shower, for calling a time for healing, because we're believing God for it. And this sound mind in Proverbs 14:30 is life, and it is health. It's a remarkable privilege to live in revival because of the forward thinking of our God and our ministry. Father, bless these words to our heart tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just for a few minutes, and just speaking from the heart tonight for a few minutes, and thinking about that song and the Lamb of God, Christ, who came, and healing, thinking of healing as you listen. Years ago, one of our people, actually she's here tonight, in Finland, had a tumor. And we were speaking, and there had been an exam, but she felt something, and she went into the restroom and examined herself and could not feel the tumor. A few days later, or the next day, went to get an exam, and it had gone. What could God do if he wanted? He is the God of every human cell, every bone, every nerve, every muscle, every part of our body, every part of our soul. And think with me, that when Jesus came, and just think about him moving through Israel. Matthew 8, he met the centurion, a leper, and he had power. He had power come out of his body and spirit. Mark 5, a woman who had been bleeding and spent all her money on doctors crawled through the crowd and touched him and was healed. And she felt it. She was healed. When Jesus was here, I like to think of him as moving and dynamic, as quiet and penetrating, very creative, very personal, and very convicting. He knew people, and he knew if they believed or not. If they believed, he provoked them and told them, you don't believe. You don't believe. I know you. You don't believe. And one man he said that to, he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. That was enough. That was enough. And it wasn't that his son that was healed. Another place, a little girl, 9 years old, had died. And Jesus came and he put out people. I love that about God. He is exclusive and inclusive. Sometimes we feel he owes us, but he is God. And we must approach him. He owes me nothing, but I can believe him if I can look at him and believe him. He can put out the unbelief. And he had the girls, mom and dad, and he brought in Peter, James, and John, because I think they were crazy enough to believe him. They were free enough to believe him. And he said to the girl, after he put the people out, and only that group was there, he said to her, arise, my daughter, arise. I wonder how much we don't have because we're not occupied with him. I wonder how much we worry, examine, complain, focus on the lower elements of life. Maybe we should be really free in our spirit and in our faith and worship him and watch him come by like he did in the Gospels. I mean, what did he not do that would not amaze us? Walk on the water? Yes. Calm a storm? Yes. Feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Oh, I'm getting excited in my heart. I'm starting to believe. I'm believing. It is possible. Jesus, walk by us tonight. Really, Lord, walk by us. Let us touch the hem. Walk by us and walk on the water into our meeting. And Peter was there. We don't know how it happened, but it must have pleased Christ when Peter said, Lord, call me. And Judas probably said to Peter, leave your wallet here. And Peter went, and Jesus said what? Come on. Come. It's like Peter goes over the side and he's believing and he goes. And I wonder how his legs, if they went on the top or 2 inches or 8 inches or 12 inches below the water. Where was God's hand under his feet? And he walked to Christ. That's in our Bible. That's our Christ. That's God. We didn't make that up. That's God. That's God the same yesterday, today, and forever. But look, we're living in a world of great technology and a world of scientific knowledge that is exponentially beyond anything man has ever known. But there's something missing out there, and that's this. You know, this childlike, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. I believe you. Walk, come on, speak, Lord. Take up your bed and walk. And the man after 38 years. And where else do you read 38 years in the Bible? But after Sinai, the Jews wandered 38 years. They were there a year and a half. And then they sent in the spies and they came back with an ugly report. And they lived in unbelief for 38 years. And this man was at the pool for 38 years. And Jesus said, would you want to be healed? He said, I have no man to take me down to the water. And the Lord is, you know, he's like, who cares about that? Take up your bed and walk. I don't care what you're talking about. That's all foolishness to me. Take up your bed and walk. Yeah, but they said it couldn't. I don't care about that. Listen to me. I am here. I am here. And I'm thinking not only of our physical body, but I'm thinking of our soul. I think some of us get stuck and we get real small in our thinking. We get down our self-image, maybe. What we think about our life, past, present, and future. But if you could, like, who cares? Let's get crazy in our way of thinking in life. Let's kind of shake it off. Let's cast it off. Let's stir up our faith. Let's, not only for the moment, but let's do it in the morning and let's do it tomorrow night. Let's have joy. Weeping in the night, but joy comes in the morning. The Bible says rejoice always, and that was said by an apostle who was in jail. Rejoice always, because Jesus is coming by. He's got to be. What else did he do when he was here by way of miracle? Peter's mother-in-law had a fever. He left the synagogue, went down to the house, and he touched her. The same period, the same house, palm leaves over the house, and they carried the whole group of people came, and nobody could get in, and it was little. It was not a big house. We saw it in Israel, and when we were up there with the remains of that house that they believe, and there's very good evidence for it through the centuries, and they've always seen him. The synagogue is there, and they lowered the man down, and the Lord is there. Oh, that's it. That's good. The Lord is there. I think in our services, in our churches, have healing meetings by faith. Put it in the paper and preach about Christ. He's coming. He's walking by. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You don't know who he will touch. When Paul was speaking to Lydia, it says God opened her heart to understand what Paul was saying in Acts 16:14. When Christ was moving in Israel and people were following him, he had so much compassion. A woman was coming out of the town with her dead son in tow and on the bier, and he stopped. He had compassion on the mother, and he just stopped and he said to the man, rise, and he did. The compassion of God and the love of God, the care of God for our lives, who he is, what he does. Let's be pastors. We're going to ordain some tonight. Let's be pastors who preach about Jesus and expect Jesus to touch people. And we don't know how, but Christ does it. He will touch if we preach about him and magnify him. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. If you have faith like a mustard seed, you can say to that tree, be plucked up and cast into the sea. We can say that about cancer tonight. be plucked up out of the body and cast into the sea. Lord Jesus, do you hear us, Lord? Yes, you are in these words. For this is your word, and it is spirit, and it is life. This is your person. You are the same. You said so. But help our unbelief, for we are like too smart and too crusty and too unbelieving. And break through all that with your person. And may God be in the material and touch and go through the material world and say, I am the God of the body, of the brain, of the lungs, of the liver, of the heart, of the bladder. I am the God of the bones, of every single cell in your body. I am the governor, and I am the God of it, and I have all power. And do you believe me? I met one time in my travels a woman who said to me, I've been healed miraculously by God 18 times in my life. And I love to hear her stories. And she told me about the things, the diseases, and the various things that God had healed her from. I mean, is it possible that maybe that sometimes the things we worry about is because we don't have our eyes on that man of Galilee, those footsteps of Jesus who's coming up and down the Jordan Valley and is saying to the people and touching them and healing them and speaking to them because he loves us and with his compassion he changes us. And it hasn't changed. Because he died and he went up and here he is in our body, in our fellowship, in our physical body, and he is God and he could say to us, you know, in Acts 10:38 it says some diseases are from the devil, and there was a woman bent over. I found one of these ladies in one of my travels. She was about this big, and she was just about, I mean, she was looking at her shoes, and this is how she was walking. And I thought of that story, and we talked to that woman also, and we had a prayer for her. But I was thinking about how he met, when he met that woman, and she was like that, he said, how could a daughter of Abraham, being bound and afflicted by the devil all these years, not be healed on the Sabbath? You will pull your goat out of a pit on the Sabbath. How much more ought I be able to heal this daughter of Abraham? And up she came. Up the bones straightened out. Up she came, the soul. Up she came, the spirit. Up she came, redeemed. And loved and healed by God. I mean God. I mean this is God. This is God. This is not people. This is God. This is not just a organization. This is God. This is not just us. This is God that is moving and saying to us, believe me. Come on, believe me. We have some young men with licenses to preach tonight, and it touches my heart because they really earned it by being on the streets and ministering. And then we have the men and women from different places in the world that are going to go back like we did many years. We'd come here, be refreshed, and then we go back out and we go back with joy, everlasting joy upon our heads. Because we went up to our Jerusalem, so to speak. And we went up and we were refreshed in a holy holiday, in a week, a convention, a focus and concentration that is not something that we have made up, but something that God gives us. Because we have a focus on the Savior who walks with us. And we'll go back to our countries. And will carry with us something we have seen or heard, a hope or encouragement or a touch from the Holy Spirit, a love for the Bible and again, and for prayer. And I was thinking, this coming year, are we praying, Lord, Lord, pour it on. I mean, pour it on this year, because we are so one. And there you have commanded a blessing. I mean, bring people off the streets like you brought the animals to Noah's Ark. The way the elephants left Africa and went up under the earth. And he didn't, the other elephants said, where are you going? The elephants, he did not know. But he was on in the plan of God up to Noah's Ark. And that's how we pray that people will come into our fellowship and they will come in and God will bring them and you and I will minister to them and encourage them in the faith and love them and pray for them and encourage them, and the fire will burn in them. And there'll be an increase because there's a heaven that Steve Finkelstein went to. There's a heaven that Sid Root has gone to. Mrs. Quirk went to. We had many face-to-face services in the last couple of years. We're going. And until we go, let's walk with the one from Galilee and listen to what he says. And let's believe him and follow him. And let's do it until he comes back and speak about him often. And in our schools, believe and do the very best that we possibly can by the grace of God to make him known. And the results are in his hands. He will do it. And we'll kind of step back and say, how'd that happen? And that's how we feel here. How that happened, we say, God did that. We say, what happened? Oh, what happened? We just say, the Lord did that. The Spirit did that. God did that. That's how it happened. If we walk in the Spirit and we believe God, we'll not be ashamed. And maybe our body will not be healed, but we will have that joy and that peace and that power in our inner man. And then we will be believing and believing. And we'll be saying, God did that. Amen.